Nerdy Show listeners, we need your help. A bunch of our series have been nominated for the Audioverse Awards, a podcast award show for audio dramas. The Orphans, Nerdcasting the Multiverse, Dungeons and Doritos, and Liberty have all been nominated for awards in music, acting, writing, and production. The semifinals are open to fan voting right now, and we'll never make it to the finals without your votes. Don't delay, we've only got till October 30th, so head to nerdyshow.com/audioverse2017 to see the list of nominees and get voting.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. You know what that means? That means it's time for another wacky Nerdy Show episode. Wacky.
That's a weird-sounding dog.
Yeah, that was a weird-sounding dog.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
I'm John.
And what'd you bring to the studio, Brandon? What is that?
What? I mean, I didn't so bring it as someone shipped it to me with exploded batteries. It's just a bird song identifier, but it's one of those really old ones that it sounds all choppy. So here, for instance, this is a barn owl. You tell me what it sounds like.
Nightmares.
Yeah, it sounds like when your speakers are up too loud and you play anything. What? You tell me what bird you think this is. Hold on. You know what? That one actually is not that bad. That's actually pretty decent.
What was that? Carrier pigeon?
It was a whip poor will, which is a nightjar.
I would have guessed that.
Whip poor will.
When I was in Boy Scout camp way back in the day, we had a bunch of whippoorwills out in the woods, and it was just, yeah, they pretty much just go, whippoorwill, whippoorwill.
I thought you were being facetious. You're legitimately saying this. Okay, yeah. Cool. I respect you for that bird knowledge, though. Only that.
I know that they definitely hang out in the woods in the Midwest. That's all I know about the whippoorwill, other than its call. I have no idea what it looks like.
When I was in the Scouts, there was a feared gang called the Whippoorwills. They were just a bunch of guys named Will with a bunch of whips. And wow, they'd run around screaming, "Whipper Will, Whipper!"
Oh, I forgot you grew up in South Florida.
Yeah, that was Davie, Florida, specifically. There's a lot of cowboys out there, a lot of cow pokes, if you know what I mean.
So I'm just gonna tell you what I've been up to today.
What lately?
I don't remember lately, but today I remember. So I've been driving on a flat tire for about 3 or 4 days. It's one of those.
I don't think they recommend that.
It's one of those slow flats where you fill it up and then like a day later it's flat again, but it doesn't do it immediately. Yeah. So I went to a store right before this to buy, you know, just one of those stupid things to inflate your tire, and I'll get a new one later. But whatever.
You mean one of those cans to plug it?
No, it's literally just an air pump. So I can just fill my tire every day till I get a new tire.
Take it to a tire place and they'll plug the hole.
I will. Well, they said the hole was too unpluggable. But that's another story for another time, Boar. The point is...
Then you tell them... A slow leak if it's unpluggable.
Guys, the point is I went to a grocery store and there were two minor things that happened that may or may not be funny that I'm now going to tell you. So
why didn't you get a new tire if somebody looked at it enough
guys,
to see?
Forget the tire.
Okay. I want to know why you're driving around on this tire.
Look, I called the tire place, okay? It's literally called the tire place. And they said, the whole city ain't got your tires, boy. You got to wait 2 days. We got to get a special order. So now I got to wait. So now I got to inflate my own tire for 2 days so they get more in.
I don't believe any of this.
Moving on to the gross. Look, hold on.
What are you going to get out your call logs? Oh.
I literally have it right here. I bought it. I just bought it. It's in this bag.
Congrats.
This
you have a cheap air compressor.
Yes. Anyway, that wasn't the point. The point is, I went to a grocery store, and there was this this couple walking by. I think they were like in their 30s.
Were they hot?
No. Anyway, they were walking by the candy corn, and the woman was like, "Hey, babe, you want some candy corn?" The guy, or she's like, "Do you like some candy corn?" He's like, "Do I like candy corn? Fuck yeah, I like candy corn. I fucking love candy corn." And
what?
She's like, "Well, this babe, this candy corn's all for you." And he's like, "Fuck yeah." And they just kept walking. I was like,
you
"What just happened?"
You are just filled with lies today.
I'm not. I swear to God,
an
I'm
unpluggable
not lying.
Tire, and then somebody liking candy corn.
Well, that's the thing.
You could at least make these lies like believable.
This isn't even a lie. I've never been enthusiastic about anything as much as this guy liked candy corn. I was a little bit jealous of his excitement for anything in this world.
Okay. I feel that way about almost everybody's emotions.
Real talk, I don't like a lot of it, but I do like a little bit of candy corn.
Well, here you go, because I got you an entire fucking bag of this disgusting shit. There you go. It's going right on the soundboard.
You set yourself up for that one.
I thought if anyone, you would like it, Bor, because your horrible palate for drinking over sugary foods.
Candy corn isn't sugar. It's just nasty.
I think it is literally just, or high fructose, maybe.
Well, there's just...
And like wax.
Well, regular corn syrup, not high fructose, sugar, confectioner's glaze, aka shellac.
You're lucky I didn't buy you the crappy caramel apple ones, or the salted ones. Mm.
And honey, actual honey is an ingredient in these candy corns. They're not that bad.
Oh. They actually
it ain't
put
no
that
circus
on
peanuts, pal.
Well, here, I got you something special then, Bor. I was like, what could be worse than candy corn? I found caramel apple Twizzlers.
Oh, give me those.
They're solid green apple Twizzlers filled with caramel.
I'm going to right now.
Well,
you know,
I kind of want
to
try
to
one.
Bring up the weird Twizzlers that were key lime pie.
Who?
I mean, I might eat that.
They're the weirdest thing in the world. It's like eating Play-Doh, but that tastes like delicious key lime pie, and then you're just really, really confused.
It actually tastes like key lime pie? They managed to actually...
Yeah, it is the weirdest fucking thing ever.
That is weird.
Boy, that
how
like,
do you get these out?
While eating it and also being like, this is bizarrely citrusy.
I can smell those Twizzlers from over here.
Oh,
like all the way across the room.
Boy, I think those are from last year.
They're like
kept
very precariously packaged. I can't get... I'm just going to
rip it out. I want one.
Okay.
Here. You want to hand me one? We'll eat it together. Oh, these are huge.
Hmm. Why don't we eat the same
one? Do you want
one?
Do you want one, Cap?
Sure.
Here. It's for
Happy
our...
Halloween, folks.
God. Okay.
All right.
There's
two.
Just keep
John,
Twizzlers.
Just pretend you're eating a really terrible candy that looks like
all right.
a dead
I
worm.
Could have
I'm
going to
get in on
known.
This.
One.
Part of this is definitely artificial. It's not completely bad.
I like it.
Okay, let's describe this. This is a fat Twizzler.
It is. It looks like a giant fat worm filled
supposedly
with guts.
The outside tastes like apple, but it
dubious. It mostly tastes like nothing, like just straight gelatin. And then you get to the caramel, and that's pretty flavorful.
Yeah, the caramel just kind of like overpowers it.
Mm. Can't say I'm going to eat more than one of these in my lifetime.
And I think they're softer than normal. Am I wrong about
that?
Yeah,
no, they are softer.
All I know is I like them.
Well, let's get to my second story then, guys.
Oh, okay.
It's just a really funny thing that happened. There was just there's this lady with her daughter, like really young. She's like riding in the cart. And she just comes up to this software where it says learn how to do fractions in one of those stupid learning softwares. She's like,
wait, where was this?
This is at a Target, if you must know. So they have
there's a learn fraction station at a Target.
It was software that you can buy for your computer.
Okay.
And I don't know how you're gonna load it in your computer, but yeah, exactly. So she goes to her daughter and she's like, "You want to learn how to do fractions, sweetie?" And the girl's just shouts, "No, no, 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 no!" And she's like, "Okay, no, 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 no." And it sounded like a cat, one of those cat videos of the cat going, "No, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no."
But I thought that was a funny reaction to asking someone if they'd like to learn fractions. Wouldn't you agree?
Train them young.
I would have been like,
"Wow,
ma'am, you're gonna have to ask your daughter to reduce her volume by 4/5."
Well, hey, John, what have you been up to?
Hunting ducks.
Oh shit, really?
Hunting ducks or hunting cucks?
Nope, just them virtual ducks.
Man,
virtual duck hunting.
Cuck hunter, that's a game. So what you're talking about is duck season then?
How's that different than Duck Hunter? I don't know what Duck Season is.
Have you not watched the trailer?
Well, is this a show?
No, it's a VR game.
Well, oh my God, Brandon.
I possess no VR.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't do anything with that, but on the list that you had with Duck Hunter, I just had to strike through Duck Season and write Rabbit Season, because why wouldn't
that.
You?
That's a thing you can do in the game, by the way. You can actually flip the sign from Duck Season, or from Rabbit Season. Yeah, no, God damn it. From Duck Season to Rabbit Season.
This guy just flooded himself.
God damn it. Well, anyway. It's called Duck Season? Seriously, that game is totally fucked up, and I managed to not die, so that was good.
Well, okay, let's give a premise, since no one's done the research here.
I'm looking up images.
Duck Season is VR game where you play a child in 1988 whose mom has rented a knockoff of Duck Hunt for 24 hours.
From a knockoff of Blockbuster.
And you can...
I'm really getting into this Elmo Fudd thing.
You can walk around your living room and then plug this NES cartridge into this NES knockoff thing and play this game that's a hyper-realistic... Once you start the game, it turns into a hyper-realistic duck hunting simulator.
Is this creepy dog that I'm witnessing in the game? It looks like a man in a bodysuit.
Yes.
It looks like a character from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, this is a game...
It does, yeah. And for good reason.
So, explain the premise. It's not just, obviously, just shooting ducks in VR.
No, and it is actually a pretty great
simulator.
However,
that is most what you will wind up doing.
Well, explain. What do you do then? What is it?
It's like the whole story, but you're basically like, you know, a kid, so you're crazy, crazy involved in the game you're playing, right? It's like totally real to you. And so the duck hunting part is, like Cap said, a totally bizarre, realistic, like duck hunter. And then intermediary, I guess you'd almost call it sort of like a lobby, is the kid's living room with all this stuff around it. And as you beat levels, the time gradually progresses 1 hour after another, until basically it gets to be like about 9 o'clock at night or so.
Okay.
That's when things...
And there's all kinds of stuff around. There's other cartridges that you can put in the game and play different games. There's VHS cassettes that you can put in your VCR, and there's like action figures that can fire darts and stuff. And you can just kind of fuck around this bizarre 1988 childhood simulator, which is really peculiar because you're the height of a child, so everything is proportionate to an existence that we haven't lived for,
decades.
Quite some time.
So does the dog do anything creepy?
Well, you can shoot the dog, and then things happen.
And then that's
right,
where everything goes off the fucking rails.
I'm seeing
because
a picture
at that point,
of
as you
the
progress,
dog holding a gun.
Scary shit starts happening, like the TV's on and you're like, what the hell am I looking at? And it's like, wait a minute, that's me. And then you turn to the right and the fucking dog is outside your goddamn sliding glass door filming you with a camera. And then he runs away.
This is a horror game?
Yeah, so, it basically is.
There's seven endings.
And I didn't shoot the dog, and as a result, I got the Fiesta ending, which is where, after the game goes back to Blockbuster, I sneak downstairs and play Final Fiesta.
It goes back to Blockbuster. Is it like Final Fantasy, Final Fiesta?
Exactly.
Is it a full game? I'll play that.
No, it's basically the credit sequence, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, confetti starts flying down on the TV, and then it's flying down in the real world, and then there's fucking, like, crazy colored lights going on in the living room, and there's maracas on the floor you can pick up and shake, and everything just goes fucking to blad, basically, like, just nuts.
Now, I got to play a little bit of this game, just a little bit, so before anything went really wrong, three rounds of...
You were, like, one fucking level before shit starts getting really weird.
And I made a point of shooting that dog a lot, so it was gonna get bad
for
me.
Yeah, I have a trophy now for shooting the dog more than once in a single playthrough.
Oh, congratulations.
I feel like this promotes dog violence.
Well, this game, the television actually plays live-action stuff, which is interesting. There's a very strange dog duck hunt tutorial video, or Duck Season. It's a really great faux commercial. The VHS all play different things. Some of them are like internet videos, like fake action figure commercials I'd seen online a year ago. I guess they must be friends with the people who made it, because then all of a sudden you can actually play with that action figure in the game. And but I got to play one of the fake NES games. It's a game called Sinatra. And when you plug it in,
by that I mean
Sinatra.
Yeah, you plug it in, it goes Sinatra. and it's Frank Sinatra, and you play as Frank Sinatra walking down the city streets, avoiding cars and murdering people.
And in avoiding VR. Cars means avoiding a truck being driven by the dog.
So, okay. I mean, if I ever get a $1,500 computer for VR, I'll totally...
And then, a $600 VR set or whatever.
Yeah, so this is only on Steam, I'm assuming, so I'm not getting it on the PS4's VR.
You can watch playthroughs Oculus, for what it's worth.
Don't want to watch playthroughs. I want to play it.
Maybe did they make a new Vive yet that I like so I can play it?
Yeah, they made the Vive BOR edition.
Oh, sweet. With 8K in each eye?
Yep, eight carats. Each
eye. Sweet.
I actually have no idea. I haven't been keeping up to date with any VR because I don't possess or own any of them, and I don't care until you give me the go-ahead and say it to me. Like, Boren, unless you give me the go-ahead and say that VR has reached that level where I should purchase a system, I'm not going to purchase one.
Fucking love candy corn.
Oh, are you still eating that?
Yep.
How are you still eating that?
No.
To be fair, I just ate two of those apple Twizzlers, and I'm feeling really dizzy. I think I just got diabetes.
Oh, is that what that was? Because I just got like a wave of like...
I'm hot. I feel hot. There's a lot of sugar in that.
Hmm. Or maybe like radium?
Yeah, I think it's radioactive or something. My brain just kind of like...
The fact that it happened to both of you, and you both have very high sugar intake, more than me, makes me suspicious of what's going on here.
It's only 24 grams of sugar per inch, so how many inches have we had?
Is this seriously per inch?
No, I made that up. That was a Brandon lie. It was my first lie of the episode.
Bor, you brought a sugary drink for us all to share.
Yeah, I brought a really weird beverage that I found at Aldi. it's got like an old timey. What kind of bottle would you
like
call that?
Like a pop top,
like something you get a sarsaparilla in.
Yeah,
like something you'd get. I don't know, some fancy sparkling cider in or something. But it's I believe it's a holiday drink for Halloween. It's blood orange and gingerbread.
It does have a black pumpkin smiling hanging from a ceiling, so I'm assuming.
Blood orange gingerbread drink. Yeah. So, Brandon, you want to do the honors?
Don't you pop that thing open?
Here's the thing, and I'll say this while I'm opening it. I'm okay with blood orange. I'm even okay with gingerbread. But who the fuck would combine an orange and gingerbread?
Ah!
Well, you're forcing the blood into the gingerbread man's soul. You see, entire gingerbread body.
You know how when a nuke goes off and there's a shockwave? Because that just happened when I opened the bottle and like my glasses and everything shook.
It's both the body and blood of the ginger Christ.
Exactly.
I haven't tasted any of this yet, so I'm right on the...
right, here you go, Bor.
I'm in the same place as you two.
John, I'm sorry that you're not witnessing this.
Oh, it's actually got a really nice bouquet.
Seven roses.
It does smell like oranges and gingerbread.
And
that
maybe
sounds
it's better
terrifying.
Smelled. I want to say like a truck stop in Prague. You ready for this? We all have glass except for John. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Bottoms up. Oh, wow. That's peculiar.
What is happening in my mouth?
It is actually the taste of both those things.
Huh. But they sort of, I don't know, it feels like they're still separate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they totally are. They come in waves.
It's
different waves.
It tastes like someone melted a really, really weak, unflavorful Red Hot into a carbonated beverage.
That's not what it tastes like at all.
That's what it tastes like for me. It's like a little cinnamony in there, a little zing.
To me, it tastes almost like a sparkling orange juice, like a, like maybe like clementines
With some ginger, but it's ginger drowned in allspice and therefore gingerbread.
But the aftertaste is very gingerbread.
Yeah.
You know when your cat drinks orange juice, like licks it up after you spill it and then throws it up and then you drink the throw up? That's kind of what it tastes like.
That's a unique experience that you've had.
I don't own any cats, but Cap does.
Hooray for me.
So you're drinking Cap's cat's puke?
Shh.
I don't know if this makes it better. Why would you point that out?
I don't know if I'm leaving town again.
I'll never tell. I think that's a bird.
Anyway. Is it a woodpecker?
I don't know. Here's a recognizable one. That one was a...
You are now fully equipped to be a wacky morning DJ.
Hey, guess what bird this is?
A mosquito.
It's a woodcock.
Hey, can you pick out your favorite, most zany bird and then just say, hey, you're listening to Brandon in the Morning, and then hit the button.
Got it. Hey, you're listening to Brandon in the Morning.
yep.
Let me try that again. I'm going to do two takes. Hey, you're listening to Brandon in the Morning. That was two birds for
you. You just went two birds full with one stone. Wacky morning DJ.
All right. And now we have to. Now our ratings are actually. We're going to be tied with Tom and Dan in the morning now.
Oh, I've died. You've actually killed me.
All right. Well, rest in peace.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
And that was a good episode.
Amazing.
Well, we could do a two-man morning show and have it be like B&B's morning hour, and we'll do all breakfast theme stuff. Boar and Brandon, B&B.
In the morning. John, I need you to weigh on the sound effects things we're doing. How do you feel about that sound effect?
I absolutely don't even. The last one sounds like a little fart. All
right, let's try it. Let's try a more melodic one and see if it's still funny. Hold on, let's try this one.
You know what that sound means, folks? It's time for a caller. Who do we have on the line, Cap?
We have a caller named John West. John West, can you tell us a little bit about batteries that breathe air, breathe human air?
Well, that's actually just oxygen. It's the result of it.
No, anyway. No. air, everything breathes air, but only humans breathe human air, and that's the.
Well, I'll tell you what, them MIT engineers, or Imagineers, anyway, I don't know what they refer to themselves as, know what I'm saying? But they figured out that you put sulfur in water and sodium in another water, and you got them separated somehow, and that's somehow a battery now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it breathes air, and it exhales oxygen.
This sounds like some sort of lizard man conspiracy. How are we 100% sure that it's oxygen and it isn't just laced with all kinds of mind-controlling chemicals?
Well, I mean, we can't be. I mean, good. They
why are we
put
talking
sulfur
like this?
In it. That shit smells horrible anyway.
Yeah, nothing but a big old wet donkey fart. I ain't installing that in my domicile.
I don't know whom you're referring to.
Who?
Well, this show's gone completely off the fucking rails, so.
So John has it right. A team of MIT researchers accidentally discovered in a laboratory a rechargeable...
While working on batteries anyway.
Well, true. But they made a battery that actually breathes air, exhales oxygen, not carbon dioxide.
Does it have tiny lungs?
No.
In a way.
But I suppose in a metaphorical kind of way.
I'm in a research.
I mean, the one they made
lungs.
Was like the size of a coffee cup, so.
It's like... It's cathode and anode or liquids, and it's like a solution of water and sulfur, and then a solution of oxygenated liquid salt, and they suck in one naturally. Am I getting this right so far? And
for all intents and purposes, I mean, they're going to obviously have to rework the hell out of it to get it up to scale. But like, what's nut is it seems to be about what, like a third to a quarter the price of a normal equivalent kilowatt hour battery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They say like the current storage systems that we use cost like $100 per kilowatt per hour or $100 per kilowatt per hour, and a scaled up version of this battery would cost between $20 and $30.
Which is pretty damn good.
What I'm reading
progress
is
progress I can get behind.
This is like the next evolution of like the lithium ion batteries. This is the next wave of batteries that you'll be using in all your products soon.
Well, or at least on, you know, grid level storage.
No, I want my next iPhone to have a breathable battery.
I'm not sure that would work. Maybe it would. I don't know.
They had actually talked about if electronics use some sort of like a hydrogen fuel cell or something as a battery source, and I was like, God, that's
I want a tiny hydrogen fuel source
crazy.
In my
like, why would you do that?
You know what I really hate about hearing about new battery technology is 5 years is going to pass, and we're not going to see it.
Nothing will matter. Nothing will happen. It'll
we'll have never
whatever.
Seen this new battery technology because I swear five. To even 10 years ago, I've been reading about, you know, battery technology that's going to come out anytime now that, you know, recharges in 3 seconds and then it lasts for 3 weeks. And it's not at all volatile. You can hit it and it'll never explode. No, it'll never explode. And you know, it's made out of glass or, you know, just
I mean, are
crazy
these, are
battery
these prototypes
technologies.
Getting bought up by companies trying to hide them from
yeah,
the public?
They're being bought up by the gas companies.
But I mean, the reality of it is scaling any of this stuff to, you know, I mean, up to the grid level is always going to be a little bit of a problem. And you know, I mean, in this case, we're talking about wet batteries. Who the hell knows what it would take? Because they're having to refine what they're already working on to make it better in the first place. Because they, right now, it only lasts for about like 2 months or something. So they need to lengthen the amount of time that obviously, you know, it'll work for before they need to be replaced. So that's like one thing. Then you're talking about scale. Then you're talking about marketing the stuff to the right people. And then you're still talking about, of course, some.
Who's talking about scales?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, maybe you are, right?
You mean on account of that they was the ones that invented the technology, what to make the atmosphere more volatile towards the humanity and desirable for the lizard folks, what to lay their clutches all open in my bedroom and in my porte-cachet?
And in my lovers.
And inside my lovers.
79% of all batteries were made by lizards.
That's a well-known fact. And, I mean, you can't... It's irrefutable. It is irrefutable.
Did you know lizard folk can be up to 300 pounds?
Well, goddamn! That's the truth if I ever heard it!
And they get +2 to strength and dexterity, so you're not outrunning or, you know, hurting one of those guys. That's what I'm reading right now.
You're reading about Lizard Man over there.
What good book you reading out of? What good book is that?
The book of Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Oh,
that's like them witch folk with have the seances and the circle jerks.
We hope you enjoyed today's segment of Brandon's Backwoods Bird Bungalow here on Nerdy Show.
Oh jeez. Hey guys, what's this one? I haven't clicked on this one yet. Oh, wait, that's a better one. I get to see that one.
Not as funny.
Nah, it's not as funny. Anyway. Moving on.
Boar, what you been doing?
Oh man, almost nothing. It
you
feels
bought
like
a house.
I bought that house. I've been living in it for a very short period of time, and all my shit is in boxes. I did a lot of painting and moving, and
can I ask you
I
a question?
Bought Cuphead right before I moved.
Let's talk about Cuphead. I haven't played it yet. I've been wanting to play it for years, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I played that, you know, for a little while, not for very long.
Was it worth the 10-year wait?
It's pretty great. It's the art is just fantastic.
If somehow you've managed to miss the massive sudden cultural impact of Cuphead, it's a side-scrolling video game that is in the style of a 1940s cartoon or 1930s cartoon,
which are the really creepy, over exaggerated limb flailing.
Yeah, everybody kind of bounces all the time.
Doing
just a little bit
in a cycle. Yeah,
when they actually cared about frame rate.
Yeah,
and steamboats.
But the cool thing about it is everything is hand painted.
I think that's why it took so long.
Yeah, that's why it took them so long. Is like everything is hand painted. I watched an interview and they're like, man, nobody's ever done this before, so we thought, man, why hasn't anybody done this before? It's going to look great. And then they're like, and then we figured it out why.
Yeah, we actually know yeah. of another game that I don't even remember if it's come out yet. I think like Earth Knight or something that was all completely handmade and hand drawn, and I don't think it still came out.
Yeah,
yet.
It gets demoed at E3 every year,
yeah,
but
for
yeah,
like the past 6 years.
I don't think it's out yet either.
I don't think it will ever.
I don't think it's probably at this point. It probably shouldn't come out.
Yeah, I think it's a little. They're gonna need to make the sequel.
But it's a little bit difficult. But there's no lives. You just have to like restart the level that you were on.
Jeez, how many hits do you get before you die?
A few.
For an entire level? I heard this game has like a Dark Souls level difficulty.
I don't know.
That's not
maybe,
an apt comparison.
Maybe at a later
it's
level?
Good comparison.
Well, no, because what it has is it has a difficulty of a traditional side-scroller game.
Yeah, it's more like Contra, I would say.
Oh, gee. So like memorize where all the enemies are, don't, you know, dodge everything, and don't get killed.
One thing that I do like is when you enter like a boss battle, that's all that level is just a boss battle. So as soon as you enter, you're fighting the boss. And if you die, then you just have to start over against that boss.
Well,
and you don't
nice.
Have to go through an entire level.
The one nicety that they decided to give you.
Some of the bosses are pretty interesting. There's this blue blob somewhere near the beginning that I fought for a really long period of time.
Cuphead, don't deal with the devil. Oh, that's right.
Does it have like a overworld map or anything when you're moving around to get to the levels, or are they just playing in sequence?
Yeah, you walk around in the overworld, and every now and then you'll see something that looks a little bit out of place, and you walk up to it, and then hop into the level.
Cool. I'm so excited to play that. The only thing I've devoted any time to gaming-wise is, as we talked about in the prior regular episode of Nerdy Show, the SNES Classic, where, coincidentally, I played Contra for the Super Nintendo for the first time. I'd only ever played arcade versions
You've
before.
Never played that? It's so good. Alien Wars?
Yeah, it's... I mean, I'd watched plenty of videos because, you know, aesthetically, it's a very, you know, beloved game and got some cool alien designs, like a big turtle with brains for arms. But, yeah, it's hard. It's unreasonably hard. Yeah, it's
very... A lot of the games from that era... did you play Castlevania 4?
Well, sure. I mean, we talked about that a little bit because we were playing with the whip physics.
I made Cap play Castlevania 4.
The sweet jazz music in that
but
game.
But the thing about Cuphead is it came out at a time where I had to walk away from it for a while because I had real world adulting to do.
Yeah.
And then the Shattered But Whole came out.
You've played Shattered But Whole?
Or Fractured But Whole. That's it. I'm sorry.
Fractured But Whole.
No, I own it, but I have not gotten to play it yet.
Did you see
did they not shop that name at all?
Do you not understand that name?
Well, I mean, I'm saying is, it's not what I think it is, right?
It is both, actually. They spell it fractured, but, and then whole, like, spelled W-H-O-L-E. W-H, like whole.
Okay,
but when you read
so
it,
that's deliberate.
But yeah, when you read it, it sounds like fractured butthole.
No, they wanted it to be butthole, but it got rejected. The ratings board or whatever. So they're like, how about fractured but whole? And they're like, cool, okay, yeah, sure.
Did you know about the difficulty and how to select the difficulty in the game? Did you hear about
it? Yeah, but yeah, they do difficulty based on race. Like what color your skin is, and the whiter that you are, the easier the game is. Like but what I've read is it's not an actual difficulty selection. It's like how much money you start with.
Well, so what it says underneath is, like, this won't affect combat difficulty, but it will affect every other aspect of the game. So, like, people aren't as nice to you if you're a darker color and you don't get as much money and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're white...
Yeah, it doesn't actually affect the
combat. Well, if you thought that South Park wasn't having biting socio-political commentary...
anymore.
Yeah, you thought wrong, because, wow.
No, right then, the difficulty selection menu, when I saw it, I was like, well, I need to buy it.
We didn't say South Park until just then. This is a South Park video game about superhero franchises.
We didn't? Okay.
We didn't.
Yeah, I totally would have understood the title a lot better then.
South Park Fractured Butthole. Well, that, I guess coming into it, just hearing a game, Fractured Butthole, and you're like, what the hell?
Is that a Kingdom Hearts game?
Yeah, exactly.
As soon
like
as I have the time, I'm going to dive headfirst into the Fractured Butthole. And poor Cuphead, I might not get back to you for a while, because I'm way more excited about that. Did you play Stick of Truth at all, either of you? Any of you?
I played it at E3, and it was amazing, but I never played the whole thing, and I really wanted to.
I want to pick up Fractured But Whole because it comes with Stick of Truth, because I haven't played it.
So. Oh, okay.
I heard Stick of Truth is pretty fast, though, right?
It's not a long game, but I heard it's really good.
I think it's like 8 or 9 hours or something.
Oh, perfect. I can do that.
depending on how completionist you are, you could give or take quite a bit from that. But that was almost a perfect game. It's basically like watching an 8-hour really good episode of South Park.
Cool. Well, this season's been a little tepid for me, so I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, it has been a little bit. I like the superhero episode.
A noted around. Improvement. Is it
Jimmy's character is so good.
Is it a tie-in to the game? Is that what it is?
I think so. They released it at like right before the game came out. So
like Professor Chaos pulling Russia's like Facebook manipulation scam was pitch perfect South Park. It was genius.
Tupperware and what was Jimmy's character called? He was like basically a Flash knockoff, but he also had the power of comedy.
Wow, what a terrific audience.
I don't remember what he was called, but I mean it was great. I mean I loved the kids commenting on their awful desire for having their own superhero franchise, you know, like what a stupid world we live in.
Netflix will buy anything.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I hope so. I want them to get Dark Matter.
that ship has sailed, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, as an update, Dark Matter is not going to be saved.
Well, maybe I'm comic books is the answer.
I have to read.
Yeah, I know. I know you hate reading.
They did that with Firefly, and I lost interest.
Did you watch season 3 yet?
I finished everything.
Oh, it's so good.
I finally also just
finished. Season 3 was so fantastic.
Rick and Morty was great, too. I finished that. I just watched that.
Rick and Morty's always fantastic.
And there was that one episode that was really bad.
Which one?
No, I'm just kidding. Did you watch after the, or during the credits, the Mr. Poopy Butthole part during the last episode?
Yeah.
Oh, what have you been doing? I hope you haven't wasted your life between this and last year. I've got a family now and kids and a mortgage. I hope you haven't just been sitting around doing nothing with your life. That's pretty great. See you in about maybe a year.
I don't know.
It sounds a bit like Towel-y, actually, when you think about it.
Ooh-wee. It's a little bit different.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, I did a strange thing.
Only one?
You always been doing strange things?
That is true. This is maybe a stranger thing.
Oh, geez.
there's a thing called the Beast of Blackwood happening in Orlando. And by the time you're hearing this, all of their events have been sold out. And maybe better luck next time and hopefully sooner than October. It's a alternate reality experience that's like an escape room, except it's out in the wilderness.
How can you not escape from the wilderness? Well, you just walk in any direction.
You could escape, except you're paying to be there, so hopefully you'll keep going.
You're metaphorically trapped.
It's by a company called Make Real. This is their first experiment in this, and they have a gorgeously produced trailer for this, which we'll link to on this episode's page, that is a very Stranger Things vibe piece about...
Oh, you mean a video. I was picturing a trailer out in the woods.
yeah. A video, yes. A video trailer for the thing that's not a movie. It's a bunch of kids get disappeared out in the woods, and so myself and John Laval and Crystal and Doug and Nina and a few other people who are unrelated to Nerdy Show went out to the middle of nowhere, south of Orlando, south of Disney, in the backwoods, into a ranch in the middle of the night around 10 p.m. All as they were asked us to do, dressed in 80s clothing, period. Perfect 80s clothing, and we're meted by...
You're the cosplay for this?
Yeah, we sure...
This sounds like something someone would tell you when they want to murder a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm, well, I mean, some kids got lost in the woods.
How many of your friends did you come back with?
we met a ranger who escorted us out to a fire where we made...
like a forest ranger?
Yeah, a forest ranger.
Okay, I didn't know if it was a guy with a hood and a bow that came up to you.
I was going to say, like an elf ranger?
Or... He took the Harbuts to Isengard, and then he took us to the fire to eat some marshmallows. We got told about how they mistook us. We were just going to go out there for drugs and, you know, high school sex, but because we were all high schoolers, obviously. But they mistook us for a search party to help find a lost kid. So we were like, oh, yeah, sure. That's totally what we're here for. We were role-playing quite a bit. More apparently that. More so than everyone else who did this did. We end up, like, walking out in the woods, and the rangers leave us behind. They're not going in. And
what happens if you get bit by snakes or, like, them nocturnes?
We signed some waivers.
Oh, okay.
and this dude stumbles out of the forest, and he's looking for his sister, and we've got these flashlights, but they keep turning off all the time, and we're wandering through the woods and find this backpack with, like, an old VCR video camcorder and, like, a cassette tape, and then this tent that's got, like, warning signs all over it, and his sister shows up and they're screaming at each other, and there's these, like, weird blacklight reactive postcards, the code, and
When did Slender Man start appearing?
Well, when we were in the tent, there were some noises outside, and so we turned off all of our flashlights, and we saw the
How
shape approach.
How big was that tent? You had, like, what, like a bazillion people?
I need specifications.
We had, many people we have? We had those two.
You've been to a circus, right?
It was like, it held like eight people.
So it was a big tent. Not like one of them tiny ass tents.
I mean, it was like an easy up tent size thing. It could hold eight people and a table and some radio equipment that we turned on.
I'm picturing one of those like tents from Game of Thrones where they've got like the map on there and they're all huddled around the map. And
I was picturing one of those military tents that also has a thing in the middle with a map on it.
Game of Thrones, man.
Okay.
Military. Brandon's over here thinking of MASH.
I was thinking of MASH. You're a psychic. Anyway. So what actually happened that was scary besides your flashlights turning off? Was there like a Jason type guy with a chainsaw? Was anyone chasing you?
Was it just the
woods alone?
There were a lot of good ominous moments. Like, and we didn't know what to do necessarily because there was these two, the brother and sister were fighting and they were like sort of dividing our opinions about like, you know, what we should do because the girl really wanted to help find these kids and the guy wanted to get out of there. And
how do you know that they were role playing? What if they actually needed help finding these kids?
Well, that's the thing. When you get out there, you don't know what the mechanics of the game are. You don't know who to trust. You don't know what 100% what's real. And it was really cool.
Okay. Did you end up finding the kids?
No.
It would have been really cool if you found like a bunch of dead bodies at the end.
Well,
like with the kids like like jackets and things on.
Let's
them.
Say I didn't not.
And by found them, it was from smell.
Man, I'm surprised you didn't wander any gators in the middle of the night.
I'm surprised that they would even ever attempt doing something like this because it seems like really, really difficult to actually lead people in any sort of meaningful way through a forest at night with no actual, you know, chaperoning figure.
Well, I mean, they encountered some problems because we were at the campfire for way longer than we were supposed to be at the campfire. I'm pretty damn sure. Hmm. And I think the people before us had intentionally fucked the story and wandered off, and who knows what their experience was like.
Did you do any cool things from the 80s, like bring a bottle of Scope mouthwash but it was really filled with alcohol and then you're all drinking it at the campfire?
We talked a lot about the Challenger explosion, and I was really sarcastic.
Wow, okay, so you're really into character.
Yeah, I was wearing white jeans and a black members only jacket and a no fangs t-shirt.
You didn't have a headband?
And I had a backwards Pink Floyd the Wall cap on.
Yeah, I mean, the woods in Florida are not like the woods in other places. There's just like bushes and shit everywhere. Was there a path or was it just completely open?
No, there were paths. Yeah, okay. It was very overgrown, but there was like an intentionally sort of carved out like path. Not cut, but like, you know, well-worn. And it was a neat experience. I really hope they do more.
Yeah, man, you could actually die from rattlers out there.
Rattlers.
It's a very real risk, Brandon.
I think do reptiles
or
really,
anacondas?
Do reptiles,
never know in Florida.
Do they really come out that much at night because it's cooler? No. Figure they come out, yeah. So
they're probably conserving energy because they're, you know, cold blooded.
I mean,
so.
But if you step on one, they're gonna wake up.
Yeah, if you step on one, you're getting it. That's the whole thing. They were filming a bit for the museum out in the Everglades, like. There was seriously a gigantic, massive rattlesnake, and they totally almost stepped on the fucking thing.
Florida never gets cold enough shit. To like everybody really shut them down. At least not this time of year.
What you really gotta worry about is those sky tigers. Sky tigers, man, will get you.
Well, don't they usually call them skygers?
No, they sound like this. Sorry, great horns. Another name for them is sky tigers because they're one of the most
Panthers.
Vicious. Predatory
small
animals.
Bears.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They will murder you. They'll murder your children. They'll murder other animals. They're very dangerous. I've been grabbed
boars.
By one. Yeah. Wild boars.
What?
Wow, that was strangely not arousing. I think.
Another thing I did was I took Adam Briggs from Ghostbusters to the tailor because he's been procrastinating for 2 years now getting his Ghostbuster jumpsuit. We've never been able to take official cast pictures for Ghostbusters Resurrection, but we fucking are now.
So you got him a tailored jumpsuit.
It's a fine suit. It comes with a very sharp tie.
Well, not only is he a prissy britches, but also he ordered one that was many sizes too big for him. So, and they wouldn't. You can't send it back when you're ordering something as specific as a Ghostbusters jumpsuit. You can't send that back.
Did they not have it in child medium?
No, they may have.
That's my size.
he was poorly measured. So now it is done. Someday soon, we're gonna take the Ghostbusters in front of the firehouse and we're gonna get some fucking photos. It's gonna be great.
Firehouse subs?
No.
Oh. Oh, you know. Speaking of your little experience, I went to Halloween Horror Nights for the first time. Like. Last night.
Wait, ever?
No, 2 nights ago. Yeah.
You had to go like a decade ago when it was still cool.
Yeah, boar. A decade ago.
Well, my time machine wasn't working.
Oh, how was your experience?
It was dumb, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think it was worth my money.
It's not.
I mean, I think we waited like an hour and a half or 2 hours to get into the Shining House. And it's just pretty much, if you've never been to Halloween Horror Nights, when you go into these haunted houses, it's a nonstop train of people in front of you and behind you. So
it's not really
everything
scary.
Is on like a 10 second loop. So like if somebody jumps out, they're going to jump out again in 10 seconds. And you can see them coming because there's people ahead of you that they're jumping out and scaring.
Yeah, and you can see the scaffolding and the ceiling.
There was literally a guy that had a line like every 5 seconds, I think he had to rest. Like he would jump out, say his line, and then reset. And I saw him do it like 5 times before I could get out of the room. It was really, really annoying.
It didn't used to be like that, man.
I was like, I don't understand how some of these people keep their sanity, because doing the same thing like that repetitively, that quickly.
Brandon and I both worked Horror Nights before.
I worked there exactly 1 hour before quitting.
I mean, like, it was cool. The atmosphere was cool. It was nice to be in the park that late.
Really, the best part of Halloween Horror Nights was always just outside of the houses.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like
just
the
wandering around.
The
crazy
scare
people
out in the streets are cool. You know, they were doing their thing, you know, like they usually do, preying on whoever looks like they're either not paying attention or are actively
or
looking for
really
people that are super scary.
Like praying.
Like, oh, no, I hope he doesn't come over to me.
John is right, though. A decade ago, the scarers, like, outside of the haunted houses, like, they had way less rules, and they did some crazy shit. They were, like, climbing poles and doing crazy stuff
to
scare you.
They
could
were,
touch you.
Like,
and, like,
literally insane. Yeah, and they pretty much violated every possible norm
it was great.
Put in place.
That was when it was good, and the houses were better. I remember being in a haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights years ago, and there wasn't a line of people, and I was just wandering through it almost by myself, which was weird. They only let like a few people in at a time, and there weren't huge lines. So.
Oh, I also went in the Ash versus the Evil Dead house.
I've heard that one's actually quite funny. How was that?
Somebody thought it was funny?
Yes. Actually, there's been complaints like, from people who don't know what Evil Dead is, and it's like, why was that funny? I didn't like that.
Like, was it like a skeleton talking?
Well, there's like probably 5 or 6 ashes that you run into throughout the house.
Uh-huh.
And they have the same problem that if you're in the room for just a little bit too long, you're going to see a few loops of the same thing. Like when I first walked in, it was like, hi, I'm Ash Williams. You know, and like he shoots like deadites that come out at him and stuff. And then they reset really quick. And then, hi, I'm Ash Williams. You know, like,
I didn't know that was his last name.
Is it?
Is that really? Okay. Yeah, that's why I don't go any. I don't see the appeal. Why people are like, "Oh man, next year I can't wait for the next Halloween Horror Nights." I'm like, "Why? They got a Silent Hill house. So what?"
I mean, you can't. There are other rides you can go on. Like the Harry Potter area was like completely dead and stuff like that. So I mean, if you really like Universal, it seems like a cool time to go.
Do they actually have active rides?
I just don't know
at night?
If I'm ever going to be that enthusiastic about going in any of the haunted houses again.
No, you know, like, but going on the rides at night might be really cool. Like,
yeah,
while it's dark out.
No, I went on the Rock. Whatever roller coaster, whatever you call that.
Mm. The rock and roll. They still do that.
An experience you can't have anymore, but Jaws at night was one of the best theme park experiences I've ever had.
Jaws was only good when we had a friend pretending he was a wizard and violating protocol and blowing things up with his hands. That was the best. That was the best. We had a friend who used to work there, and
we could say it. It's Colin from Nerdy Show.
I mean, he was quitting, but yeah, it was like, He had done the ride so many times, he knew when things were going to blow up and everything. We were like egging him on to do something else. So he'd like put down the gun. He was like pretending he was a wizard and like using his hands when the explosions were happening and improvising the whole thing. And it was amazing.
Fun fact, there's a book about the Jaws ride and the history of it and the skippers who worked it.
Is Colin in it?
Colin didn't know about this until it was gifted to him at Christmas a couple years ago. He is actually in there listed, like, in the beginning of the book as one of the best skippers of all time.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Wow.
Well, I fucking agree, because that was the best ride I'd ever been on because of him, so.
Huh. I've never been on the Jaws ride.
And
no, I never will.
You never will. So, yeah, Halloween Horror Night, no bueno.
Nah.
It's not worth it. The, like
I said, I feel like if you got the season pass or whatever, It's like 100 and some bucks. You can just go back most nights.
But why would you want to go back?
You know there's a secret experience, though, right?
What?
What's the secret experience?
I forget what it's called, but there's...
When you say animal style.
There is a Horror Nights underneath Horror Nights that is elite and hard to get into and involves some like bleeding edge VR technology experiences.
This is bullshit.
It's not bullshit. It is real. Doug's done it.
There's a hidden Halloween Horror Nights that nobody knows about except a select few under the ground in Universal
that sounds
Studios.
Well, not like incredibly like, hardcore.
Are there lizard men?
Underground in terms of like, as in behind
like
the scenes,
hush.
Like you got to knock on a door and say a password kind of stuff.
So if we
that
like
is fucking insane.
Can we go online and like find the password or how do you get it?
You can start making inquiries as to like where to get that information, but it changes all the time. It's a narrative that's been going on for like 5 years now or something like that. It's very complicated.
So they saved the good Halloween Horror Nights.
Why
for
didn't
a few
anybody
people.
Tell me about this before I went?
Well, you didn't say you were
yeah,
going.
We didn't know.
No.
And I didn't know about this.
And
apparently.
Also, I've never done it myself. I don't know how to get into it.
It's on a needs to know.
Well, Doug does apparently. So if you ever go back.
But the thing is that they actually can't do cool stuff at Halloween Horror Nights because there's too many people now. There's
a hush-hush section where they
can. Yeah, so for the people at Universal who want to develop new experiences for a limited people who are willing to sign waivers and so on, that happens behind the scenes.
It's like
all
a new
time.
Ride that might decapitate you, but they're testing it out.
Not like that,
sign a
no,
waiver.
But there was at one point there was going to be, this is like the last year that they ever had a split Halloween Horror Nights where it was half Islands of Adventure and half Universal Studios. They had what was going to be a elevated haunted house where you're actually going to be hooked into a harness and drug through stuff or through a scenario. And they were testing
that
it out.
That sounds ludicrously dangerous and expensive.
It was, you were going to have to sign a waiver to get in there, and it got shut down at the last minute. Like it was even, I think, previewed to the cast.
That
and
doesn't sound completely different from the Tower of Terror when I first, because you're in an elevator and it rises
up, and then it goes
through a house with holograms and shit, and then it drops.
Sure, but this was, they actually like hook you into a harness and move you horizontally.
Like a zip line, only motorized or something?
Yeah.
Huh.
Why wouldn't they, that sounds like doable.
Yeah, no, they almost did it. They came very close to doing it. They spent a lot of money on it, and they realized this is going to be a disaster, and they backed out of it.
Oh, that's a shame.
And that was the last, I think the last moment of like bravery in terms of public Halloween Horror Nights stuff.
Huh.
So if you want a good Halloween Horror Nights experience, apparently there's a secret Halloween Horror Nights that you
I wish I could
doing.
Remember what it's called. I have no idea what it's called.
It's secret.
Alternatively, go to Dimension C-135 where they actually did run that house.
And time travel a little bit.
Yeah.
Because one way or another, it was probably a bloodbath eventually.
More importantly, though, seriously, that foam wall over in the Marvel section, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep,
no?
That foam wall.
Foam wall. What's a foam?
Yeah, like during Halloween Horror Nights back in the day when you were working there, there was like a foam wall that I guess had been running because it was early, like in the night. So the foam wall was literally like three stories tall.
Oh, made of actual foam. It was like a foam sprayer that gone horribly wrong.
At the time, foam parties were all the rage for the rave circuit. So they had a section that was a foam party.
Fucking insane.
No,
because
I remember that.
It was literally like a city block of just foam up three stories. Like, when I went back later, it was completely gone, but like there was just a tunnel through it.
It was a big wall of white bubbles.
You run through it, and then you choke, and you walk
back. It wasn't
a wall.
It was like just, I mean, it was literally like
an
expanse. 60 feet long, just a tunnel through the stuff that somebody had walked through that much.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, a decade ago, they had like the smoke machines and like the foam machines were just turned up to a factor of 12.
And crazy ice
and
queens
just leave them on.
That were all looking at you, you know, like a nut job.
Oh, that I have no idea what he's talking about. It was the ice queen.
The Nerdy Show and all the shows in the Nerdy Show Network are entirely listener supported. You make this program possible. So please, 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 if you enjoy what we're doing, you can give us a one-time donation at nerdyshow.com/support. Or even better, you can subscribe to us on Patreon. Even $1 a month makes a huge difference. It gets you early releases, all kinds of bonus content, and tons and tons of other perks. We'll let you go there to Patreon to see it for yourself, patreon.com/nerdyshow. You probably shop on Amazon, so if you do, shop through our Amazon links and you will give back to us. If you want us to give you a shout out for shopping on Amazon, great, just write in and tell us what you bought, nerdyshow.com/Amazon. You can bookmark that and make that the link that you use for all your purchases. We have a new patron. Her name is Sarah Spean. Welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining up with us. And we'll see you on the Nerdy Show Lounge, I think, if you're on Facebook, if you do that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, explore that Patreon page a little deeper. We have a reoccurring shout out for a fine fellow who is paying us $10 a month, and that means we get to say, well, we say whatever he wants us to say. Do you have shirts? Old shirts? Shirts that are nerdy but have holes in them, or simply are just too stretched out from wearing them over the last 1, 2, or even 5 years? Well, boy, howdy, do I have a suggestion for you. Toss out your old crummy clothes or donate to a thrift store and replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts. Yes, you heard me right. You, too, can replace your favorite faded Mario or Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show network jokes, etc. For example, the Immortal Iron Fish, which still no one has bought.
Oh, that's my fault. I really do want one. I'm going to buy it. I swear I'm buying.
Or a No Fangs t-shirt, so you can be cool like Cap from 1988.
I get so many compliments for that shirt.
Well, there it's you really go. Weird. Or you can get a Pika-Thor. That's the Immortal Iron Finch.
Now you're going to make that shirt.
And don't forget, they even come in kid sizes, so go ahead, eliminate the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace them in your wardrobe with all the shirts that Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at nerdyshow.com/store. Thank you, Jeffrey McSorley.
Guys, what color do you think would look better on me? Black or green?
Green.
All right.
On what part of your body?
My penis.
Just the balls.
Am
I a man or a youth? Jeez.
I don't know. What shirts do you usually wear?
What sizes do you have on this cat?
Do you shop at Toys R Us or Toys R Us Kids?
Here's the problem. I've got the body of like...
I'm more interested in, are you a Muppet or a man?
I've got a... I've got the dimensions of a child, except I've got a badonk that doesn't fit any children's clothing. So I'm
you're
like
not buying
between.
Pants. I don't make Iron Fish pants. I make Iron Fish shirts.
So what you're saying is you got an ass that won't quit.
I do have it. It won't quit for ages.
Hey, so here's something that caught me by surprise. Riverdale came back.
Oh yeah,
like it came.
I
out.
I saw that. I haven't started watching the new season yet, but I did finish the first season.
How'd you feel about the first season?
It was interesting.
You still maintain the same vibe I had of why do I like this so much? Why do I keep watching it?
I want to keep watching, but I still don't know why.
Yeah,
that's
I kind of want to quit, but I can't.
It's just getting weirder. Riverdale's the Archie CW super sexy primetime soap opera drama. And it's so strange. And I mean, I was really surprised that it came back because like I was saying, all of season one came out this year and now we're getting season two.
Yeah.
So
it seemed pretty fast.
Very, yeah. And
whatever gets me more Betty and Veronica.
I watched a slight interview, and slight because I was waiting somewhere in a waiting room and it was playing on a TV. They said the second season's going to be much darker.
Wow.
Well, considering that it started with a murder that last season ended with, I'd say probably. I mean, granted, the first season began with a murder, but this was a murder like more on screen. And committed by a very interesting figure. I don't. The actual identity is shrouded in mystery, but it was a dude in a black mask that, like a hood, like a, you know, it's like a ski mask, but not actually specifically one, who kills a character from, or, well, who shoots a character from the show. That black masked character is not some anonymous figure. That is a character called the Black Hood, who is a storied comic book character owned by Archie, created in 1940, back when Archie Comics was MLJ Comics. He was popular enough to get his own radio show in 1943.
Huh.
And so, but has been recently been reborn in 2015 under Archie's adult imprint, Dark Circle Comics.
Is he a bad guy or a good guy?
Well, in the Dark Circle Comics, he's a somewhat, he's a really gritty police officer who takes matters into his own hands and becomes a vigilante after his
Spoilers.
Face gets destroyed.
Well, now I know who he is.
Well, that's probably not what's happening in Archie.
Oh, well, and it's Jughead. It's always Jughead.
But, like, the reason I know that it's a Black Hood is not just because in recent television ads are like, who's the person in the Black Hood? But but his in the 2015 Black Hood comic by Dwayne Swierczynski, which is fantastic, I highly recommend it. The eye holes are torn in kind of a diamond shape. The eye holes of the mask.
Don't touch my eye holes.
So
it's a new Apple.
So
product.
That's super weird. That's a thing that's happening. Like a potentially maybe even metaphysical villain.
Well, I'll get on watching that soon.
Yeah, it's this time there's a subplot that's got a little bit of a Telemundo vibe as opposed to the usual soap opera vibe, and I'm not sure good. If I like it or not.
What? It's like a telenovela.
Yeah. Veronica's subplot gets a little bit of Spanish soap opera like.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
her family could totally pull that off.
Yeah, so that's happening, and they keep throwing out weird references to stuff. For example, there's a scene where Jughead's like, "Man, Archie could be a comic book character like Captain Pureheart or something." Captain Pureheart's this like fantasy character that Jughead turns into as like a superhero, like a or something, or maybe it's Archie. I'm not sure, but it's like a weird throwaway line. And Reggie was not in the first season at all, like hardly in it. He was there, but he wasn't like, you know, Reggie's a main character in Archie, but he was not present in the story. They recast him, and this new guy is having a bigger role in the show. Guess what? Reggie's a real shitbag. He's dealing drugs. He's dealing a drug called Jingle Jangle.
I can't take anything seriously when you say Jingle Jangle.
You know what Jingle Jangle is?
How do you take that drug? Do you wang jangle it?
Well, kind of. It's like a pixie stick.
Oh.
You just tear it off and you pour it down your throat.
I was going to say, if you pour it in your eye, they fucking stole it from my childhood.
Would you recommend that application for a
no,
pixie stick?
No, it's fucking horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So when do the Ninja Turtles cross over? Because that happened in the comics.
It did happen in the comics. It hasn't happened yet.
What about Casper?
That's Harvey Comics? That's not Archie Comics.
What's the fucking difference, guys? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Harvey Comics is Casper and Little Red Hot and Richie Rich and Baby Huey.
What about Super Duck?
The fuck is Super
Duck? I'm just naming the comic book character Super Duck. I'm just naming shit off. He had 94 issues, Super Duck.
This is why we don't let Brandon have a computer in the studio.
Jingle Jangle is the name of a song by the Archies, the band,
time.
From 1969. And this show, every time Riverdale says something weird, and you're like, huh, what's that? It's always something. It's always something.
Huh.
Super Duck was a parody of Superman made by MLJ Comics in 1943.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, could be in the fucking show,
could
guys.
Be.
Not ridiculous.
So, I mean,
Black Hood's in the show, same time period.
You know, I would
Super Duck.
I would say it is, Brandon, I think you're right. It's entirely possible someday Doug had to be like, hey, Betty, I got a pet duck. She's like, oh, wow, what's his name? Super Duck. You know,
can you read what he's called under the title?
I can't read that from
he's,
here, no.
He's called the Cockeyed Wonder. Super Duck, the Cockeyed Wonder. I don't know. He doesn't look cockeyed, but what do
that
I know about
work.
Cocks and eyes?
Speaking of other shows that have come back, The Good Place came back with season 2, and that's been phenomenal.
As I recall, you haven't actually talked about The Good Place on Nerdy Show.
Have we not?
I don't think so.
If we haven't, it's a fantastic show that's on Netflix. You can watch the whole first season right now.
It's on Netflix, but it's not from Netflix.
Correct. Yeah, it's on. It's an NBC show, I believe.
Danica keeps telling me I like it. I should watch it.
Oh yeah, you'll totally like it. The premise is the main character dies and goes to the afterlife, and they sit her down and they're like, "Hey, you know, you're in the good place. You know, you led a really great life. You were a great person." And so this is your reward. And they start, you know, showing her around her neighborhood and stuff like that. But she's a real piece of crap. Like she was a horrible person while she was alive. And she goes through a bunch of stuff to try to hide the fact that she's not, doesn't really belong.
Here's my elevator pitch for this show. It's the opposite of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And it's like if what dreams may come was mashed up with Defending Your Life and turned into a sitcom.
Yeah, but you get Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Is that Veronica Mars?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
And Ted Danson from Cheers.
I know Danson.
Tiny Danson, man.
Yeah, Tiny Danson.
But for those that have seen all of season 1, season 2 is way, way better than I thought was even possible.
Wow. Okay.
Because some stuff happens in season 1. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but there's a point where you're kind of like, how are they even going to continue this? But holy shit, did they they figured it out. It's so
I
good.
Guess the few scenes I saw from the show that look really good is every time she does something bad in The Good Place, it negatively impacts the entire creation of that place. Like a sinkhole will open up or like something will die. Like,
right, because she's bad thoughts, an anomaly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost to me seemed like less of like a heaven and hell type deal, more like a futuristic scientific representation of the afterlife that
they never call
built.
It heaven and hell
because they have computers. Like the guy has like a computer matrix and he has a robot, I think, assistant. Uh-huh. And it's like you really can't tell.
Well, Janet's not technically a robot.
I thought she was a computer.
She's computer-like.
She's a simulation.
All right.
She's Siri basically.
Ted Danson's got a crazy looking computer thing.
Yeah.
Well, it looks cool. I'll check.
And Dirk Gently came back. I haven't watched it yet. But
oh, you haven't watched it yet? I mean, no, I know you've been moving.
I've been so busy.
You and your moving house.
I'm going to do that tonight.
It's fantastic.
Oh, man.
Where are you watching it? I'm watching it on my DVR because I still pay for cable.
Ah, oh, shit, cable. That's why I can't watch it.
It's on BBC America.
Yeah, I ain't got that. Wait, if I use someone's Xfinity account. I got it.
Oh, I really can't. I really can't wait to watch that. Dirk Gently. I know we've talked about it several times, but it's such a good show.
Believe the hype, dear listeners. If you haven't checked out the first season of Dirk Gently, well, now is the time to do
it. It's on Netflix now, isn't it?
It probably is.
I think
it's definitely on Hulu. I think I saw it on Netflix recently.
If you've never seen the show, do not watch
it. It took them way too long to get it onto streaming platforms.
That's true. I was going to say, do not watch the 8-minute long extended trailer for season 2 because it literally spoils the entire first season. So do not watch any trailers until you watch the first season.
No, going in blind is advisable.
Yeah.
I mean, just know what we told Doug. It's Douglas Adams. And if you like Hitchhiker's Guide, any version of it, go for it.
It did take us 30 minutes to try to describe the show to Doug. And then we're like, Doug Adams wrote it. And he's like, oh, why the fuck didn't you say that 30 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's fair. That's a fair criticism of what we were doing.
I'm not good at this.
Your name's Doug. You like people named Doug? Watch it.
Do you like British people? Do you like American people? Well, they made a show together.
Okay, I don't see why I'm interested, but I guess. That's my Doug impersonation.
Hey, did you know that there's another way that you can help support us that doesn't involve any money at all?
What is it, Cap?
Why, it's rating and reviewing us on iTunes and Podchaser. Now, iTunes is still the number one platform for procuring podcasts, and you should definitely invest the time to rate and review us there if you can. We haven't gotten any ratings or reviews on this program since June, and that is not good, folks. That's really not good. However, there's also Podchaser. And since our last episode, we haven't gotten anything new that we can share any reviews from anybody, but we're still number 20 on the podcast roster there. And I was looking at our highest rated episode because it's not just series you can rate on Podchaser, which is an amazing platform for podcast discovery, but you can also rate individual episodes. So if you go to the hot charts for Nerdy Show, you can see what people think are our best episodes. But right now it's a little bit imbalanced because our number one episode with 15 ratings is the episode American Nerds. A fine episode.
Really?
A fine episode, but here's why.
Because you weren't in it. It was all me.
It's because around the time American Nerds came out was when we really started pushing Podchaser. Everyone got on the bandwagon, did it that one time.
That makes sense.
And never came back.
Hmm.
Our second best episode is a tie between both Nerdcasting the Multiverse episodes. A good choice. But those only have 8 ratings. So what we need you to do, Nerdy Show
Thanksgiving
fan.
Thanksgiving special is an award nominee, too.
It is. Yeah, you probably heard the bumper at the beginning of this episode for the Audioverse Awards. And in fact, it's been, not only is it up for, let me explain this real quick. So, because I tried to keep the ad under, or the promo under 30 seconds, and there's a lot of information. Audioverse is it's a podcast award show, but the thing is that it's all public voting. That's how you win. So right now is the semifinals, and a bunch of our programs are up there. Nerdcasting the Multiverse, Dungeons and Doritos, Liberty and the Orphans, and there's also writing awards, there's production awards, there's acting awards, and we're all up for different things on there. We have a full list at nerdyshow.com/audioverse2017. So we need you guys to vote on these right now so we can get in the finalists, and then we're going to have to ask you to vote again. It's a big pain in the ass. But we really appreciate it. And fortunately, we've made a guide. So though this would normally take a long time to do this stupid voting process, if you just follow the tutorial that we wrote, it should be pretty streamlined. But the other thing is, there's a better award show, I feel, called the Parsec Awards, and those are juried. So much like the Academy Awards, there's a group of people who fancy themselves, you know, aficionados of the podcast medium and will, you know, recognize, like, listen to the programming and make a informed decision. It's not a popularity contest. We want to win all of these, of course, but fortunately, with Parsec, Nerdcasting the Multiverse Thanksgiving Special and Lightning Dogs are both up for awards.
Nice.
Nice. You know, I made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's how you should know that.
Do you think we're going to see that that very event in Solo, A Star Wars Story?
God, don't even
How could they not?
I know they're gonna. Ron Howard tweeted an image of the spice mines of Kessel.
Oh, totally. You think the entire movie's going to be like the Great Kessel Run?
Well, wouldn't that be cool?
Using a unit of time that doesn't exist, but is rather a unit of distance, and they used it wrong in the Star Wars universe.
They've corrected
My
it.
My thought about that was that it showed how precisely he was capable of actually plotting the courses between
You think he was like, I made it in less...
How dangerously he actually...
John, take it that way. That is exactly what it is.
I don't believe it.
Do you think if we win all these awards, more people will be like exposed to underground radio, and that'll be like the new sensation that sweeps the nation?
I can only hope. I can only hope. Otherwise, what is even the point of these awards or exerting the effort towards these awards? I don't know.
Personal gratification.
I don't need personal gratification because I have...
Sounds like you do.
Not from the outside, because we have all you wonderful fans supporting us. Like, you know, with your mouths and with your dollars.
I would love you to support me with your mouth.
They do. They say Brandon is so funny. They say that more than anybody about anybody else.
Where's my like Man Booker Award for writing? Where's my award
the
for writing?
The fuck is a Man Booker? Booker?
That's the famous award you get for writing.
Never heard of it.
The Man Booker Award?
Never
really?
Heard
no.
Of it.
How have I, someone who doesn't read books, know what the fuck a Man Booker Award is?
It's a terrible name.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a great name, did I? I didn't come up with it. Shit. Anyway, Weekend at Bernie's, I need an award.
I'm gonna get you a Book Fucker Award.
Can we submit my Weekend at Bernie's chapter? I want a medal around my neck.
Well, hey, you brought...
I feel like Warren Ellis would be very happy about that award.
The Book Fucker Award?
Yeah, the leading literary award.
He'd really like getting an honorary Book Fucker Award.
What? Okay. Weird. But you've inadvertently brought up a topic that I want to bring up, Brandon.
Inadvertently. Wink.
Well, you know you have.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Well, that is that... Nerdy Show Theater, the feed that is kind of an aggregator for all of our audio drama programming, we are changing how we do that. So very soon, we're going to be removing Liberty, The Orphans, Dungeons & Doritos, Ghostbusters, Pokeballs from that. They all have their own separate feeds, Cthulhu as well, and it's going to be just a place for the weird stuff. So Nerdcasting the Multiverse, the Paranoia XP one-shot, Star Wreck when it comes out. And what we're hoping to do in 2018 is for that to be a platform for specifically one-off programming, which we'll be releasing on a regular basis. And one of the things I want to do is I want to do Weekend at Bernie's as an audio performance piece.
But it's not finished.
It's not finished, but it will be finished.
We're still waiting on Brian Clevenger, who to write the next chapter.
We're not waiting on anybody to write the next chapter.
I think
anymore.
Boar should write the next chapter.
I could.
He will.
Can I submit a one-off as well? Can I write a script?
Yes.
Because there's a script we did a long time ago called King Arthur vs. Dracula. You may be familiar with it.
Oh, I
God
want to.
God damn it, I knew that's what you were going to say.
Can I do all the voice acting for Bernie?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, can I share with you a pipe dream?
Sure.
I want to get the actual guy who played Bernie.
Is he alive?
That was a joke because Bernie's dead the whole time.
But not in
Weekend at Bernie's 3 Night of the Living Bernie.
Oh, okay.
Then he gets reanimated.
Is that guy still alive?
He's still alive.
Last I saw him, he was looking pretty dead.
he's still alive, and he's still actually pursuing a third Weekend at Bernie's film called Weekend at Bernie's 3, Bernie Does Extreme Sports. This is actually a script that has been written and has been kicked around, is not getting made, but I mean, it's out there. I don't know how we would go about doing that. Maybe a Kickstarter, but it's something I want to at least attempt because, wow, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? But if not, then absolutely.
Yeah.
You're going to have to say some terrible things, though, because Bernie is a terrible person when he's not a fun-loving corpse.
When have you known me to shy away from something like that?
Oh, never. I just wanted to, you know, tell you in advance. I wrote him being pretty damn racist.
Nice.
Oh, he's been in a lot of stuff in the past couple of years.
Such as?
Nothing I've ever heard of, but a lot of stuff.
Oh man, that might mean that he's available
for
us.
Almosting.
No one's heard of us.
He's in a movie called Almosting It. That's not a grammatical error. That's called Almosting It. Significant Mother.
I'm almosting your mother. So
yeah, I know. The Accidental Present. Man, a lot of stuff. That was like in the past year. Anyway.
I think that's up it for the show, right? We're done, right? We're done with the show. The show's done.
Yeah, I think we've been babbling about random stuff for long enough. Yeah.
Pretty good show. All right. So taking us out, Cyfride has been working on a record for years and years, and it's finally out. It's called Hyperspaced, and this is a track called Luke and Scotty. I don't exactly know what they're going for, but it is simultaneously about Star Wars and Star Trek. And Brandon, yes, they do use the word dilithium.
Yeah.
I know that's your bare minimum requirements for Star Trek.
I moved on to trilithium, but whatever. Dilithium's still cool.
Fuck you. All right, here's Cyfride with Luke and Scotty.